Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So like I was saying, Indy's fine. Indy got surgery, guys. He's okay. More teeth out. Less things to chew on. You know what I'm saying?
We're talking about our dog's potential for so much skin cancer and how I didn't know you could put suntan lotion on a doggy.
There's dog stuff, but you know, as the esthetician that I am, I've got my tricks, and I have a powdered sunscreen that's a zinc and titanium blend that's much easier to apply than a lotion. And then the mineral stuff works instantly, so it's not like I have to be like, stay inside for 15 minutes while that stuff absorbs into your body, you know?
Well, you're going to have to send me a link because I got spray on and she definitely freaks out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'll rub it on my hands and then rub her down. But she's like, yeah, what's happening?
Dogs need sunscreen too, turns out, guys. But, you know, hey, welcome to Side Work Podcast where we talk about everything. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
And I'm Brooke Van Poplin. Hope you're all having a beautiful Friday or whenever this podcast episode hits.
It'll be Friday. Yeah, yeah. We'd like to think it's always Friday because that's when we drop and that's when you guys hear us. So hopefully we just, those Friday vibes are always rolling through you when you listen to us. That's like some smooth radio talk.
It's a Friday afternoon. We hope you guys are feeling as good as we are in studio. It's just because I'm like covering up the fact that I'm like, if I really want to talk about what's on my mind, it's going to bring everybody down. So anyways. So here we are.
Just call me at BBP Comedy to figure it out.
Yeah. You can just see my meltdowns at Brooke VP on Instagram. We don't have to do it here. Okay. This is a safe space for servers.
You know, the weather's changing, so I would assume we've got, like, you know, some shifting happening. You know, our buddy Victoria, I just found out, is going to head to upstate New York to manage a restaurant for the summer. You know, so I feel like things are definitely, so things are, I think that the summer season's upon us. Staffing's going to start happening soon. Patios are rolling out. We're that time of year, you know?
Certainly hope so. Yeah. Like I'm going to go to the neighborhood places today and see if I can drop off a resi. That's why I showered and I'm attempting to look cute.
Because
as we all know in Los Angeles, it is about your looks no matter what. And, you know, gotta do the part. Gotta look like a commercial actress.
Will you be attaching headshots to your resumes? I don't know. Those days might be gone, or that might be more of a West Side thing, you know?
That is a West Side thing, and I do think that trend got canceled, hopefully.
I would hope so.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yeah.
I just watched I'm gonna fuck it up. What's the clothing store, the documentary that just dropped? Like the young girl, Brandy... Brandy Melville. Have you heard of? Okay, here's what happened. This is how in the dark I am. And here's the thing: like, nobody's advertising this shit to us because I'm a 45-year-old woman, and this is for like preteens, teenagers. So Brandy Melville is a clothing store that's been around for some time, and this documentary just dropped, which you'll dig, Brooke.
It's about fast fashion, right?
It's about fast fashion, but it's also about the company itself and how fucking crazy it is, and that they like basically have, so they have one size fits most.
Oh.
And we're talking for like the skinniest girls. And they hire the prettiest girls. And they put them on the floor and they're like, hey, girl, welcome. Can we take your photo? You look so cute today. And then like the owners will like basically steal the looks, these cute girls that work there or photos they take of customers and like make clothes out of them into fast fashion and push them out. Not to mention the fact anybody of color that they hire works in the stockroom is not out on the floor. But it's weird because I had one client mention it to me just as like not the documentary, just about the store itself. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And like the next day, the documentary was like in my face. And I was like, why does the world work like this? Why?
Right. It's like you're looking at Tits McGee here. Probably couldn't, you know, fit in any Brandy Melville.
Oh, it gives me trauma. Just like the Delias, yeah. The stuff that I couldn't fit into when I was a teenager. Like, it's just, you know, it's leaning fully against what people are trying to, like, change, you know?
Exactly. So, size inclusivity.
Great. It's like an even worse Abercrombie, you know? It's kind of how I would describe it.
I know. Barf. Well, okay. Well, okay, I'll definitely check
it
out.
Yeah, right? You guys want to go look that one at the Americana? We could totally go and, like, check some stuff out.
I'm good.
So anyway, well, let's just bop into some headlines, shall we?
Sure.
This one is super great from Food and Wine. Costco, we know them. We love them. I go all the time. I went today and gassed up my car. They're cracking down on the food court. Basically, for years, you could basically just roll up to the food court, get that $1.50 hot dog, which we all know that price has never changed and will never change, according to the CEO, with your little drink and get out of there. Well, now they're definitely requiring you show or scan your membership card in order to eat at the food court.
To acquire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's now an exclusive club.
It's super exclusive. I think I'm pretty sure I complained about this a couple of years ago, most likely, because it really, you know, cooked my grits. Is that a saying, Brooke? I'm going to say it.
Well, you tell people to kiss your grits when you.
It also cooked my grits. You know, that's how steamy and like full of like boiling hot energy I was. I'm claiming that saying as well. I went through. I didn't have my membership card. I forgot it, and like I was like, oh, sorry, I don't have it. And they like had to scan like, or maybe had Brian's. I don't know. But there was a huge kerfuffle. And I was just basically like, I've been a member here for like 15 years, you know, but they're just like, they're cracking the fuck down. And of course, it's because numbers are down. They're not making as much of a profit per year as they used to for memberships. And so they're basically like, fuck you guys. If you want to eat a hot dog for $1.50, you have to pay $60 a year to do it, which honestly is not that bad of a price to be a member.
It works out in hot dog money.
It really
does.
If you do the hot dog math, everybody wins.
That's the title of our new project.
The hot dog math.
Yes. Oh, writing it down.
So you guys, you can't fly under the radar anymore or you're fucked. Look, if you're in Southern California and you're really craving a hot dog lunch and you don't have a card and I have time, I'll scan my card for you. We'll enjoy a hot dog together or a slice of pizza or a.
How about you be like the rest of us? And if you can't get into Costco, you haul your ass over to Home Depot parking lot
you know,
and get their $1.50.
Yeah. Those are good too. And apparently the Lowe's, they have more of like the gore. You can get a Chicago dog. You can get a Coney dog. Like, But here's the thing. I don't go to Lowe's or Home Depot that often that I'm like, hot dog. Like, it doesn't trigger in my brain like it does at Costco. Nor do I even really get the hot dogs that often anymore. They used to have Polish sausages, which were.
Now, that'd be worth the $1.50.
Yeah, I'm saying to you. So anyway, what a disappointment. The people are really tightening up their belts. You know what I'm saying? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's bad everywhere.
It's so bad everywhere.
Get out of here.
Okay. So this next. Were you able to click on the link to this one?
No, I was out of. I couldn't get it to open. So you're going to have to.
I know. I'm going to. It was weird. I couldn't do it either. I even like this is you guys. We're talking a little IT talk right now. I even put it on there and went to, you know, I reposted it. Anyway, this is from the Daily Mail from the UK. So apparently Italian restaurants say they're struggling to cope without authentic waiters and kitchen staff due to the new Brexit rules, and claim that their British replacements aren't as good. So basically, for decades, countless young Italians have traveled to the UK mm-hmm. each year to learn English and to serve in restaurants that are dedicated to their homeland. But post-Brexit rules have disrupted this ritual, meaning that foreign staff have to earn at least £38,700 for a working visa. So in turn, causing a huge strain in the hospitality industry. So they're basically like, you have to make a bottom line income to even stay in the country. And then they're saying the new rule will likely significantly actually reduce the number of Italians living in London, which is kind of going to fuck it up for everybody. So we're not getting like authentic food. We're not getting authentic service. Nobody knows what the fuck's going on. And it's a bummer all around.
Like, instead of having somebody come up to you and say, like, you know, a meatball. Instead, you've just got the locals kind of going, meatball.
You have meatball?
You want your meatball?
Oh, no, what?
It's not fun.
Oi! Oh, no, what's a meatball?
Oi!
It's arrabbiata. Arrabbiata.
No, it's arrabbiata.
Arrabbiata.
Yeah. What a nightmare.
I know. I really do feel like I was back in acting class there. I've often said that I would love to work with like a phonetics coach, like a dialect coach, if I had disposable income, just so I could perfect my accents at cocktail parties.
Absolutely.
Margarita. Anyway, bummer all around. Anybody across the pond over there listening who can relate to this, you know, let us know. But it is just a bummer. Like, people are just losing out all around.
I want to, like, go do the summer season in Michigan. I don't want to be here. I want to go get, like, a killer job in northern Michigan. Like, stay with my aunt in Petoskey. That would be so
I mean, dude, start looking at the want ads now is all I'm saying.
Get some ins. My aunt and uncle own the town of Petoskey.
My aunt and uncle, if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know, people.
Should they know their names or people? I mean, you shouldn't even have to say it because, you know.
No, it's a very little town. Everyone knows everyone. They've lived there for 30 years. So anyways.
I mean, it could be really fun. Just be like, I'm just going to kick it at a, you know, like on a patio in Michigan all summer and then spend my days hanging by the lake.
In the lake.
I'm going to take
paddleboarding.
I'm going to wait tables with like a sweaty ass and swimmer's itch.
We cannot go. No, never again. Dear Lord. Oh, the swimmer's itch. Anyways, almost that time of year.
Almost that time of year. But you know, before that, should we just dive into this? Dive in. I'm saying it. Diving in. Gotcha. Wade in, if you will. To a server.
Submitted.
Story.
All right. Hello, ladies. As a reminder, I'm the fan that works in aviation and also holds nearly 20 years in restaurant work. Rather than continue to work backwards in your podcast, I decided to start from the beginning. That's amazing. What an undertaking. So she says, I just finished the Yelp review episode. With regards to the professional reviewer, I myself did get pulled into the office after a secret shopper cited me for my pants touching the floor. My service was perfection. However, the pants grazing the floor, along with the fact that they could see that I was wearing a red tank top along my bust line, was enough to scar my review. We wore black shirts, by the way.
Good Lord. Oh, I love how she says professional reviewer. I mean, it's in quotes, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah, quote unquote. I had a great shift the other night at the restaurant that I work at. A couple at a nearby table had two small children. Now, these children were very loud and eventually started to throw their food. Not pleasant. However, the reaction of a woman at my table was worth their unruly behavior. I had a three top, and one woman was so disrupted by the squeal of one child to the point where she grabbed the tabletop, twitched her eye, and announced, "They have to leave now." I had to hold in my laughter. Her response was reminiscent of PTSD, but clearly she had never actually really experienced this. Now, please remember, service is not restricted to restaurants. I literally, in the aviation thing, had a pilot announce in the lobby that he did not appreciate the metal ring that was around the neck of the bags of ice that are delivered to the airport, and he prefers twist ties. I kicked myself for not handing me a handful of twist ties that I always actually happen to have on hand. Anyways, I'm happy reversing my side work playlist. I miss Jocelyn. Godspeed and good tips, Monica.
Nice. I mean, obviously, I fully remember and know full well that service is not just for restaurants. As someone who's been in service my entire life and now is in the, I would say, self-care sector of service.
The self-care. Yes, mm-hmm. indeed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I did realize when someone gives you a bag of ice that has the metal ring around it, fuck that bag. Mm-hmm. I like the twist tie too.
I agree. Because like, what are you supposed to do? It rips the bag open and there's no mm-hmm. like going back. There's no just nope. sealing it back into a nice little, I don't even like, and then I feel like most bags of ice, and I guess it might be different for airplanes because you can kind of untwist and open them up and gently get them open to scoop out the ice. But I feel like any ice bags anymore, you just have to tear open because they're just sealed, you know?
They're, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting ready. I'm getting ready for ice bath season again. Get my little cold plunge tub up and running.
Yeah, I just dip in the pool when it's still cold here. And I just, you know, yeah. But hopefully the pool will be warm soon, you know. This is a great story. And it's a really nice lead up to our topic of the day, which I think is really amazing. Which, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about kids. But let's continue to talk about this great story that Monica sent us. I mean, this actually has so much. This has secret shopper. This has kids. This has airplane woes. I mean, it's a lot to unpack. This is three stories in one. Now, you guys.
Three stories in one.
These are the kind of service-submitted stories that we miss and we appreciate. And, you know, I think that we poke at you guys to submit the service-submitted stories. But we've kind of leaned into actually maybe going for like voice clips. If you guys, instead of actually wanting to like type something out as far as a story, why don't you just record yourself on your phone and you can just send it over to where would they send it, Brooke?
You could still send it to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Well, let's get into today's topic, which is a nice follow-up to dogs and restaurants. Unfortunately, these little creatures have a far more rights, being a human child. There's not a lot we can do to ban them. Just kidding. But we're gonna really break it down with kids in restaurants, yeah, kids and the origin of family-friendly dining restaurants and places.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is restauranting throughout history is one of the sources that we got today, stating, you know, and talking about that as far back as the 1700s, families and cities obtained some of their meals from public eating places. Now, this is really interesting and actually would be like a whole to-go food episode. But basically, yeah. usually the food came from them rather than the reverse. So they would send like a servant, like a wealthy family would be like, go pick up the to-go food from a caterer. And right. like, and that happened all the time. Like, I didn't even know that. And here I am just cooking dinner every night like a fucking idiot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like, it was just super, super uncommon to see children out and about. Yeah. In
everybody ate inside. And we've talked about this in the past. We've talked about the fact that it was a man's world. Like, men were the ones who were out. They were the ones who got to go out to eat. And that even women specifically were not really allowed. And it was very shunned upon for women to go out to eat. So basically, as time changed and there was like, it came to a point where it's like they would basically put you in your own little room. So there'd be restaurants, right? And there'd be private rooms for families mm-hmm. in the back, you know, and because it was shunned upon to see kids in a restaurant. You know, we're talking about in olden times, it's like, you know, you'd have like in the saloon and you'd hear the piano playing and you'd have like, you know, it would people would see you and it'd stop. It'd be like a record scratch, you know, that's usually how it used to be.
Well, it was also like the protection of the delicate sensibilities of women and children.
Totally. Because men gonna be menin, you know,
but
mid-1800s, again, this is what there were some restaurants that catered to women and they sometimes brought their children along with them. And this was typically like the snugs, the little things that we've talked about where like women were allowed like one little room, you know, to hang out mm-hmm. in a bar, frosted windows so nobody could see in and they couldn't see out. And then, you know, they could just bring their kids every now and then.
They could just hear the bar fight, you know, breaking out.
In the early 1900s, tea rooms became more popular. So that was like more of like women being able to go out and actually like dress and be fancy and mm-hmm. like they with open windows and they could like wear the, and so kids went with them there and so children were seen there and then they started focusing more on kids menus right to cater to right. kids right.
Well, they're smart too because they're like, this is a missed opportunity mm-hmm. to make money mm-hmm. let's make that money baby mm-hmm.
absolutely. So it was like, I don't, there's like a little quote that's just basically, kids are just full of oysters and ice cream when they go to these places. Can you believe it? It's just like, I mean, that's a dream for me now as an adult to be full of oysters and ice cream. But like a five-year-old, I just think that's absolutely hilarious. Then we're going to cut to after World War I when Prohibition came mm-hmm. around. And we've talked about in the past that like once you couldn't serve booze anymore, restaurants
right.
had to refocus. They had to change. And now they're becoming a little bit more family friendly because you don't have just like wild drunken men everywhere
right.
in the restaurants. Right.
They've had to do the pivot that we've all been suffering from for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. But what are you supposed to do?
Absolutely.
No boozy booze. Absolutely. You got to feed the little.
Not only that, people are driving cars at mm-hmm. this point, and you have families who are going out for like long drives because that's just what she did. And by the end of it, they're like, well, wouldn't it be nice to just stop and have a meal somewhere? And that's when children's menus again started popping up or like restaurants more catered to families.
Uh-huh. Right. Or just a little more like, especially you see in the downtown area of LA, like a lot of cafeterias or food halls mm-hmm. became and very, very much absolutely. The norm. So you could bring the whole fam yep. through.
And with the cafeterias and food halls, that was more catered to shopping. We talked about, you know, a lot of these cafeterias
downtown workers.
Are in department stores and right. who shops? Women be shopping, Brooke.
We do be shy. I haven't shopped for anything in a very long time.
Right.
I'm trying to sell everything.
But I'm talking like
anyways.
Back in the day when yes. you'd be like, I'm gonna get fancy. I'm gonna go shopping. I'm gonna have lunch, and I have to bring my brats with me, and they're gonna have to eat too. And what's an acceptable place other than a cafeteria? You know,
mm-hmm. I could go for some meatloaf right now.
So then things just kind of like roll with it. Then we have world, right. you know, we have cafeterias opening up. World War II ends. People are loaded. You know, the age of like to fast food, to go food is happening. People want things quick. People want things fast.
Diners.
Diners pop up. I think the burgers, you know, things that are easier for moms to prepare, you know. And then with that, people start getting more into the like, oh, maybe we should actually like super lean into catering to kids, you know. Then you've got like your Denny's that open up, you know, that you get your menus with your crayons and things to distract kids.
Yep. Your Bob's Big Boy.
Bob's Big Boy, all the way up to like a child experience. Ding, ding, right. Ding. The Chuck E. Cheese's / Showbiz Pizzas of the world.
What, with the animatronic bands.
What's interesting about this is that it used to be that like kids going out was a fancy, fancy affair where you to like get dressed to the nines. Cut to today, people want the least fancy, the fucking cheapest, the most minimalist setting to take their children to eat. So
less stuff for them to fuck up.
How the tables have turned.
Oh my goodness, right? I mean, I think one of the very first episodes that we ever did, like, of the podcast when we had Kyle and Jocelyn still with us, we all talked about even growing up in the 80s. It was just like, hell no, we didn't get to go out to eat very much with our parents. We weren't brought along.
No.
It was still not super duper the norm, and it would be an event where my grandparents wanted to take us all out to dinner, and we'd end up at the stuffy, you know, horrible restaurant that is a nightmare for children because you have to, like you said, dress up, you have to behave, God help you, or else you'll get taken out to the car and get swatted. It was either the bathroom or car, and it was the countdown of 3, 2, and it'd go 2.5. Or
2.75.
I'd be like, okay, I'll stop.
Fine, I'll stop. Fuck this and fuck you guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just, the fast, casual, what can we give it? Like, every place has some version of a kid's menu anymore.
Totally.
You know?
I mean, absolutely. Obviously, a Happy Meal is so nostalgic that now they have Happy Meals for adults because it is so ingrained in our brains, you know? So the kids' menu, you know, the history of that is like, obviously, you know, people were leaning more into it and they become more and more interesting as time goes by. I don't know why I cannot click on these links.
What happened to your doc?
I do not know. But, you know, back in the cafeteria tea room days, kids would have things like creamed chicken, you know, like broiled lamb was a big item they could get.
Oh, it was like a white rice with flaked chicken plate on it. I'm like, that's the food I make for my dog.
Yeah, it's totally. I know. I was like, oh, that sounds like it'd be really good on the gut. You know, vegetable plates, things like that. Like when kids like just actually ate nutritious food that like actually was full of nutrition and like they actually absorbed into their system.
Yeah. Okay. So the special for children in 1918, that was a 20-cent plate. The children should be fed a bland diet. The 20-cent meal consisted of rice baked in cream, a peanut butter sandwich, milk, and ice cream. I would say that's a very dairy heavy, weird. It is bland. That's almost like when you go, you know, get admitted to the hospital and you have to have the brat, you know, diet, bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the Waldorf Astoria, where they were known, and this is the 1921 menu that included broiled lamb chops, again, the flaked chicken with rice, and something called prune whip.
Prune whip. Mm-hmm. I would eat it. Mm-hmm. I would try it. Mm-hmm. I like this one. 1927, the 50-cent meal consisted of a poached egg with creamed spinach, would eat, a baked potato, bread and butter, and milk.
Would
I like
eat.
That 50-cent meal. Would eat this child's meal.
Yeah, and so, you know, then we get into, like, the 1940s, and then you're getting colorful illustrations, you're getting, you know, of toys, you're getting animals, comic strips, you know, you're getting really fun little things to distract you when you're going out to eat. So, yes. Yeah, that, I mean, that's really great. And then, of course, as we said before, diners and fast food emerges in the 1950s. And boy, oh boy, if that just wasn't fun unto itself, you know?
Indeed.
Just a spectacle. Nice. Yeah, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, I just think the evolution is pretty incredible, you know? But
well, and I'll also say that, like, I do appreciate a place that will have a little more creativity to it, because, man, I'll tell you, I spent a week dining, you know, with an 8-year-old, and every time that menu comes out, it's the same. It's butter noodles,
right?
It's chicken nuggets, tendies,
spaghetti, mac and cheese, pizza, yep. Burger,
or just a little, yep, a burger,
fries, yeah, yep. Yeah. So, you know, I think at this point we could say, okay, kid friendly, right? Versus mm-hmm. kid themed. Okay.
Exactly.
So here's the thing. Kid friendly means kids are allowed on site. The end.
Exactly.
That just means like it's on a bar. They have like, you know, they have to, usually when things are kid friendly, you have to serve food. There's typically restrictions or kids aren't allowed after a certain time. At least that's how I remember it. Whereas kid themed is a catered experience to youth and family. Like,
yes,
if you were a childless adult and you go to a kid themed place, you are either looking for something highly nostalgic, somebody should call the cops, or you accidentally walked into the wrong place,
or you love their nugs. I don't know what to say.
Look, I remember going to the Chuck E. Cheese in Chicago, and I was just like, it was a kid's birthday party, and I was just like, wow, the salad bar is like really great. I was like,
it's banging. That's a great banging salad bar happening.
Really banging salad bar.
So I want to talk about this place before we get into the like the Chuck E. Cheese's of the world. But in terms of kid, there's a kid friendly, right, bar here in Los Angeles called the Golden Road Brewery. Mm. It's a big, giant indoor, outdoor brew pub that it's like one of the only places children are allowed to accompany adults here in Los Angeles.
Well, actually, the brewery scene in kids goes back a little bit further than you think.
Ooh.
Whereas okay. Golden Road is crazy because it is on a mass scale. I mean, when you walk into this place, it's just AstroTurf covered in games catering to kids. Parents yes. everywhere, kids everywhere. But Frogtown Brewery also does this, and this has been happening for years and years. So this article from Forbes basically leans in to say that while it's nice to have family-friendly places where kids, you know, can hang, adults can just kick back and like drink some suds, because beer is not that threatening. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's
right,
what it comes sure. down to, is like beer is not so threatening. It's a great daytime, Saturday day, Sunday day place for, you know, adults to be able to hook up, you know, have some fun, and their kids can run around and like play some weird, like huge Jenga, right? Stuff like that. But what they're saying is that like shit's gone way too far, you know, and we've both been to Golden Road and we know it. But basically like kids' birthday parties are being thrown at breweries, you know, where it was just like you'd go and there'd be a couple families here and there, to where you go and like
it's competing birthday parties.
There's just kids everywhere.
I do get an invite. Now, come on, come meet us. And they're like, no, it's so chill. And you're like, it is not chill. And mm-hmm. I am cool. Like, it is, I feel so much for the workers mm-hmm. there, because it is a nonstop rumpus room of children running in between, swinging off the bars, diving under your legs. I'm like, this is so unhinged.
Well, and like at least, and Golden Road isn't as like much of an echo chamber as other breweries, right. in my opinion, right. because I've been to ones where it's like there's McLeod's here, and there's in Manai's, they have like their flagship brewery where kids are allowed. And inside it's like cement, huge tanks, it's cold, and every like sound just like echoes everywhere. Ugh. And when it's a nice day, right, especially mm-hmm. I mean, all over the country at these breweries, wherever, if kids are allowed there, right, that's obviously the first rule of thumb, is like, are kids allowed here in general, like it's fucking chaos. Like, I went to McLeod's last year for a friend's birthday party. They were, and I was just like, I mean, there was probably 300 people in the place. You know what I mean? Indoors, outdoors, kids, like strollers everywhere, fucking balloons, birthday parties happening, like, you know. But also, look, like, parents want to go out and have a nice time. You know what I mean?
I'm not begrudging them that. Yeah. It's like gangs of kids who have all teamed up now, like, and are like, you want to go attack this group of adults? And like, you know, and you're like, someone please, the children, they're ganging up.
Kids are ruthless too. And you're always like, don't, I know stuff too, kid. You're not the boss of me. That's how I feel. Watched,
there were like, you know, obviously all the pieces to the games that nothing matches anymore. It's all been destroyed, you know, and I was watching kids chuck all of the, you know, the sandbags for cornhole. Uh-huh. They were chucking them over the fence at people's cars and their parents were ignoring them. And I was just like, this is lawless.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah. That's great. I got to go in and give like countdown timelines to like some 10-year-olds the other night when I was at a friend's place. I'd be like, God, it's up like, you have 10 minutes before bedtime, before lights out. And I kept going back in and like the old, my nanny days, like kind of kicked back in. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, I'm good at being in charge of kids. Let's go. Like,
amazing.
So good. But yeah, that's, I'm glad we brought it up. I mean, I think it's good that there is kind of like this safe in-between space for parents and kids to have fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to lean into specifically some very, like, nuanced two kids establishments, you know?
Sure, sure.
So let's start with the Chuck E. Cheese, the Showbiz Pizza. Memories for you, Brooke?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I went, there was a big one in and around my county where I grew up called Major Magics. Did you? That was another
no,
one that fell
it was
into
the knockoff.
The
Chuck E. Cheese was first, Showbiz was an offshoot, and then there was all right. these other offshoots yes. from it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we would go to another place called Major Magics, but then I do believe, I'd have to ask my parents. It was either, I don't know which mouse I saw first, if it was Showbiz or Chucky. But anyways, always a good time. If not a little threatening, I found the animatronics really creepy.
Oh,
they weren't my
so
favorite.
Creepy. Absolutely. Like, I definitely, I remember going as an adult, again, same, like, visit that I talked about you know, a few minutes ago, and like it was like a mouse, a bird, you know, a dog singing, and then a fucking Italian chef.
Like, just an Italian chef.
And I was like, this seems like not okay.
So this lump
sum seems not cool, you know what I mean? Oh boy,
he should look for work in Britain.
Oh yeah. So, well, you have to have a minimum income. That's the fucked up part. Like, that's the thing. You know, you can't move there if you're struggling. You have to come well established already in order to stay. It's elitist.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do love a Chuck E. Cheese. I think it's great. I mean, ball pits and all, tickets, get your prizes. I don't remember the pizza. Who does?
Who does, you know?
Yeah, nobody remembers the flavor of the pizza.
Come for the pizza, stay for the pink eye. Yeah.
That is absolutely true. But, you know, let's American Girl Cafe. Let's dive into that one. This one is way after our time, you know, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you guys don't know, American Girl dolls have huge stores in large cities all over the world where they have restaurants where you can sit down with you and your doll and have lunch and you can have tea. I know our old guest Sumi worked there for a very long time, and you can go back and listen to all her tall tales.
I think when we spoke to Sumi, you know, you could really make bank specifically working at the American
and the
Girl
hours
doll
weren't
cafe.
Even that bad. Yeah. And if you
and they were,
yeah.
She's like, it was cute little like tea service and lunch, but you just like, you know, just pocketed like crazy money. But she had like a really mean, very
weird
psychotic
manager.
Boss.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you were able to read this New York Times article that I posted or not, but apparently as of late, influencers who grew up at American Girl Cafe going basically are going back wearing, you know, vintage Christian Dior's, wearing their like designer clothing,
And they're saying it's one of the cheapest brunches in New York City. And they go and they get fucking tanked because they serve alcohol. And they pose like photos, like they take their doll, they sit their doll down, they dress super duper cute, like very innocent, like, you know, looking like little, like very youthful. And yeah, and they sit and they get tanked. It is a whole trend.
Wow. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, considering I will not give the New York Times my money, I'll never know.
Yeah,
well, I'll just have to look it up otherwise.
Absolutely.
I'm making a lot of notes today. There's a lot of things to look up.
You know, and then there's just little restaurants that I have heard about, you know, kind of here and there over the years. And then I just like did a little deep dive to kind of research some stuff where and some of these places I like really want to go to. But this place called Slappy Cakes, there's one out of Portland, there's one in Singapore, and there's some in Hawaii. This is basically like it's basically like a teppanyaki for pancakes.
Oh,
it's like Korean barbecue for pancakes where there's a griddle.
I was going to say, if they were smart and if we're thinking the same business thoughts, that there would be different forms so you can do different shaped pancakes.
See, that I don't know if they do different forms, but you can order a bunch of like different toppings. Like, so they give you the batter that you pour on the hot griddle in the middle of the table. So like, don't touch. And this is the one thing with like kids where I'm just like, oh shit, this seems like a bad combination, but obviously they're doing just fine. And then you can add and order all your accoutrements. So the kids can be like, I want sprinkles or Jimmy's, depending on where you live in the U.S.
Where you live,
yeah. All over your pancakes, whipped cream, syrups, like different stuff like that. So I don't know.
And then you've got like a whole gaggle of kids that are just going to go lay down for 3 hours. Then,
oh, my God. For
right
sure.
After you fill them
Absolutely.
Up with slappy pancakes.
Yeah. And then even sleeping in the ER because of the burns. You know what I mean? I just think it sounds, I was like, wow, that sounds like a, you know, great / terrible idea. Now.
Well, and I have to say that this also makes me, you know, I'm like calling out to y'all listeners, like, have you specifically worked in a child themed restaurant? Mm-hmm. Like, we want to hear from you.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Now, doing research for this episode, Brooke, I have just really decided and realized that I want to go to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which is where Dollywood is. And I want to go to Dollywood, Brooke.
Why don't we? I mean, that just needs to be in our pitch document for our pilot.
Just
for
going
our show.
To Dollywood?
Yeah.
So Pigeon Forge is where it's located. And then the surrounding area of Pigeon Forge, it's a very family friendly, wholesome type experience when you go to Dollywood. And there is a place called the Dolly Parton Stampede, which is dinner and a show. It's essentially like a pioneer rodeo old westy version of medieval times.
Perfect.
I mean,
oh, you know, I would not like medieval times is probably kid friendly, but it's meant for weird adults.
It's all ages, but it's definitely yes. family fun, I think, oriented
yeah.
more than anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody's there for a good time, you know. So the Stampede, I think you're getting like roasted chicken, you're getting biscuit, you're getting your sweet tea, things like that.
You're getting your grits kissed.
You're getting your grits cooked. Depending. Well, hopefully not cooked. Hopefully it's a good time for all. And no one.
That really steams my grits.
It really steams my grits. This really steams. This really slow cooks my grits. These are not instant grits. They're slow cooked. But there's so much that like there's a chicken breakfast restaurant that I researched that has like animatronic chickens that like sing. They sing Bohemian Rhapsody. There's videos
okay.
that I saw. It Jimi Hendrix, you know what I mean? That they put the hen in
yeah.
Hendrix things like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love shit like this. We all know that I love a theme. We've talked about it for years. So anytime we get to talk about themed restaurants, I'm totally in. Casa Bonita, which I think we've talked about here and there, especially since Trey and Matt from South Park purchased the restaurant. Kind of making the restaurant famous in a South Park episode. it was kind of on its last leg and falling apart. They decided to buy it. They had to spend way more money than they thought they were going to originally. But Casa Bonita is a Mexican-themed restaurant. And if you guys didn't know, there's fucking cliff divers in the middle of the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, the dive show. You can just sit all around an interactive, like scary death-defying dives into a big pool of water.
You know, and I think we talked about this as like a little bit of a controversy, like when it came about, but they just do straight tickets. Like you don't order off a menu. You basically like, it's like $20 for kids, $30 for adults for lunch, and a little bit more for dinner. And they're basically like, here's three items to choose from off the menu. And then you're in and you're out. Gratuities included, you know.
Okay.
And so you're just turning and burning. It's basically like just like one big banquet every single night, you know. And I think they're obviously paying their servers a living wage. But I think with something that's like that insane, I mean, and if you think about it, like the Dolly Parton Stampede, the medieval times, that's the same deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You're just paying one price and then you out. It's dinner theater.
Oh, I was... I couldn't. Yeah, I was like, I was not prepared for how expensive medieval times was, you know?
Oh, sure. I mean, Casa Bonita is like, it's not an actual show. I think it's like pretty reasonable. I think like $25 for the kids. That's not terrible, you know?
No, but that's crazy. Yeah. So this is in Lakewood, Colorado.
Uh-huh. Ugh, uh-huh. Crazy. Which is outside of Denver, I want to say, is a subsidiary. I'm pretty sure, I would imagine, but near the area. And then we've got this one I just thought was hilarious. this guy is in South Carolina. This is the Pirate's Table and Seafood Buffet. Which is a little, like, if you start to look on the actual, like, decor of the restaurant, it's really not that great. It's kind of nautical themed. But the cool thing is they have a mermaid show. So you can hang out and then watch the ladies doing their little underwater mermaid tank action, which I think is great. I want a fucking tiki bar. I want adult things. Like, you know, why isn't there a mermaid show at a tiki bar anywhere in this town? They probably, I know, it's gotta, right? Exist somewhere though. I just haven't actually Googled it. Like all this kid shit just makes me like want my version of it, you know?
Well, we've just got, you know, and for me, my is like, if the food is decent, mm-hmm. I want better than decent. Mm-hmm. I do want better than decent. But we talk about theme restaurants. The one thing that they never get right is the food.
Right.
You know, because we've gone so far in terms of, you know, as adults, we're like, we want it to just be really like modern and stripped down and plain. And there is like a return to feeling like a big kid and going to a crazy, obnoxious, tacky place that's putting on a wacky show. And why not at least make a stiff drink and a good mozzarella stick and I can have a nice time.
Dude, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's like, you know, the Chuck E. Cheese is like, we're a kid can be a kid. What if we just said like, we're an adult can be a kid? Like, shouldn't that be the name?
Yes.
Shouldn't that be a tagline for a restaurant somewhere? Yeah,
absolutely. But I do feel for the servers here. I'm on their Instagram page, the Pirate's Table Buffet. Their work uniform is a pirate mm-hmm. outfit. That's mm-hmm. that's
you're gonna complain. You know, there's anyway. I'm sure they get
secret shop.
Yeah.
And they're like, the parrot attached to your shoulder was turned clockwise. I'm gonna have to deduct a point.
That's amazing. I mean, we could go on and on and on. There's so many kid themed restaurants. You know, and I guess what we're not really talking about is that like, there's a taboo about kids in restaurants in general with a lot of people, you know? So I think they're obviously the industry and need for kid themed restaurants are bigger than us, you know, and always will be. And it's just something that we're always just going to have to deal with and lean into, you know? And if you don't want to hang out with kids, you guys probably already know where to go, you know?
Exactly. We know where to, what brewery not to go to on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
It really is a thing. I mean, holy moly, it's a thing. But good Lord. Yeah, I mean, we did one of our earliest episodes ever at the beginning was just about how dealing with kids in restaurants.
Absolutely. And this is expansive, you know, about like obviously the history is in place. And it's, yeah, we got everybody up to speed, Brooke. We really did it
again. We did it again,
motherfucker.
We want to know. We want to hear from you if you've worked in kid themed restaurants. We want to hear about the good, the bad, the ugly, mm-hmm. all of the above.
All of the above. The vomit, you know, mm-hmm. so much vomit, I bet.
The too much ice cream and running around, you know, too much ice cream and oysters.
I saw the vom.com. The first time I ever met my nephew, he vomited in front of me at a restaurant.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Write to us. Send us a little voice memo. You know, we're down.
Awesome.
We're down. We'd love to hear from you guys. So, well done.
Well done.
Fun stuff.
And
we'll talk to you again next week, everybody. You know what we say at the end of every episode?
Godspeed.
And good tips.
Hey, bam.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.